And can you sort of put that in the context of what's been seen previously in terms of neoadjuvant chemotherapy and neoadjuvant hormonal therapy?
Yeah, I think it fits in very well because some work that we've done shows that if you take a group of patients and treat them with the neoadjuvant chemotherapy or neoadjuvant endocrine therapy and get them to the stage where you think they can have breast-conserving surgery, you're significantly more likely to be successful performing a breast-conserving surgery operation in patients after neoadjuvant endocrine therapy than you are after chemotherapy. And one of the reasons is about 20 to 30% of patients who get a good response to neoadjuvant chemotherapy, what happens is they have multiple islands of tumor left in their breast, dotted throughout the same area as the size of the cancer that when it started. So these patients often don't have palpable disease, but when you go in as a surgeon, it's very frustrating because you find the pathologist reports disease dotted throughout the same area. So, and you don't find this pattern of response to neoadjuvant endocrine therapy. It's as the tumor shrinks down and implodes, whereas you get this pattern of response to chemotherapy. And that's why I think endocrine therapy in the Semiglassov series was more impressive in terms of converting patients to breast-conserving surgery.
I guess two other factors that people talk about is the time to response and also the fraction of patients who progress.
If you're very selective and you select patients only who are ER rich, and if you're taking all red scores, we would treat 6, 7, and 8, then the number of patients who actually fail to respond or who progress is incredibly small. I mean, we treated something like 250 patients with neoadjuvant endocrine therapy, and we have 3 or 4 patients ever whose tumors have got larger. So it's a really very small fraction in the selected population whose tumors don't respond.
What about time to response?
Well, what was interesting in the Semiglassov series is that they treated patients with either 3 months chemotherapy or 3 months hormonal therapy. So they had exactly the same duration of treatment and the response rate was identical. I think studies that we've performed suggest that, you know, the time to response is a bit slower with endocrine therapy. But what we've seen with neoadjuvant chemotherapy is that if you give longer cycles, like in B27, you get a great response rate. And it's exactly the same with neoadjuvant endocrine therapy. If you continue beyond 3 months to 6 months, 9 months, then you get a greater response rate.
When you talk about receptor rich or the all-red scores, what does that correlate to roughly in terms of percent of positive cells ER?
The all-red score, as you know, adds the percentage of cell staining and the intensity of the staining. So a score of 7 you can get with over a third of the cells staining strongly. So it's at least a third of the cells staining.
Are there any prospective neoadjuvant hormonal trials underway right now that you think are going to provide more information?
There aren't any I know about. There are a number I've heard that have tried to get up and running, but have not yet succeeded.